Greetings, grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. PJH being here for 40 days to wholeness in Christ, a devotional journey. I'm your host, Paul Petit, and over the next 40 weeks, we're embarking on a journey to developing wholeness in Christ, all that God has for you, helping you find and live up to your God-given potential. Now, our guide to that is the book, The Journey to Wholeness in Christ, written by Signe Bodishbaugh, along with this accompanying journal. Now, you can order your copy of Signe's book and that journal that goes along with it by going to signebodishbaugh.com. You can find the spelling for that by going to the cover of this podcast if you need help spelling that out. Now, you can also find her on Facebook as well by looking up her name. Now, we're following each section of the book together on this podcast with the author herself. And Signe, here we go.
All right. Hi, Paul.
How you doing? You ready for all this, huh?
I'm so ready because this is my favorite thing to do.
It is. And it's, I've really benefited from doing the book myself, reading through it, and really journaling for the first time, as we talked about in our last episode. And in this episode, we want to really introduce you to the book itself, the introduction to Journey to Wholeness, where you can share your vision. I want you to share your vision of how many that you had in the book. And if you look in the preface at the beginning, before you actually get to the sections, you share this vision, which is rather unique, of a person along a riverbank plucking leaves from the tree, and you're along the riverbank, right?
Right.
And he's passing each tree, plucking a leaf, and then handing it to you one by one. Walk us through this. Tell us about that.
Let me just be clear up front that this was not some weird out-of-body experience, like doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, it wasn't like that at all. This was when I was in prayer and saw a picture, almost like I'd see a TV show or a movie or something. And I'd been reading the passage in Scripture about the trees along the river of life having leaves for the healing of the nations. And that intrigued me. And I could just see in my imagination this young man who was at the peak of health. And the only way I could describe that is that he seemed to have a golden tan, and he was just vibrating health. And he was picking these leaves from these trees and applying the leaves to places on me, making even tea that I could drink from them. He crushed them so I could eat them. He applied them to wounds. But I realized the healing that God's provided from his healing trees, the leaves of healing, that is so symbolic of how many different ways he has to bring wholeness to us. This man knew exactly where they needed to be applied, exactly where my wounds were. Some of them I didn't even know I had, and exactly how it should be done. It was so tender and so loving and so thorough that I was just impressed to write this in my prayer journal. I didn't understand it at all. I had no idea how I should apply it, but I knew that it was a symbolic image of what God wants to do for all his people.
Now, you say something in the book, and we'll know as we dive deeper into it on this podcast, and that is things that happened to you you didn't recall or didn't even know, but yet very integral and part of our healing and part of getting to wholeness in Christ. That's really what we want to try to do here. And you do it often in your book. You talk about going back to move forward. Why is that so important?
Well, it's not that we have to make ourselves go back and force past even maybe painful memories to come to the present. It's that we allow God to go where he wants to go. And maybe the thing we might fear revisiting more than anything else, something so horrific that happened to us, and we won't allow God to bring healing to us because we're afraid he'll take us there. That's seldom where he's going to start. He's going to start where he knows we're ready. His sensitivity is beyond our scope of understanding. He's not going to just take us back into the depths of the worst possible thing that ever happened until he knows we're ready to handle it. But when he does, and when we're able to explore some things we may have even forgotten or never understood, or were too young to intellectualize it, to internalize it in a way that makes sense. He does it with us, and he always does it to bring healing and redemption. Not that he makes us relive horrible things. I think sometimes when we talk about the ministry of wholeness or the healing ministry or the healing of the soul, there are a lot of different ways people explain what we do. They get the wrong impression that all you're going to do is revisit your horrible past. You have to relive all this junk. And you've worked hard all your life to this point to put it behind you, to not think about it, to not let it just continually guide the way you act every day. But that's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to bring forward the real person God created you to be. He created each one of us in his image, and a lot of us, we're grown before we even get an inkling of who that person is he created us to be. I was like that. I was in my 30s before I even knew there was such a thing. And when I let him, when I gave him permission by learning who he was, trusting him little by little, listening to his voice, receiving more and more of his love, he began to reveal to me the woman he wanted me to be. And I was surprised. I didn't think I could be that woman. I'd given up hope. I was learning to be content with being the woman other people told me I should be, being the woman I thought my husband expected me to be, my children expected their mother to be, my friends expected me to be. And you know, it's hard work doing that because you're always struggling to figure out what do they want in any given time with whatever group you're with, and how can I please them? That is a miserable existence, but a lot of us live that way for decades because we don't know how to get out of it.
And really, that's the point of the book, is extracting you from that. And I think the beautiful part is you could start anywhere, regardless of your walk in Christ. But there is a commitment, I believe, to following through on the whole process of 40 Days to Wholeness. How important is that commitment? And as we embark upon this journey that we're all about to do through these podcasts, where do we need to be? How do we need to be thinking? How do we need to be preparing?
We need someone to walk with us. You need a companion. For us, our mentor, Leanne Payne, was that person who encouraged us on a daily basis. I hope this podcast can do that for you. If you don't have somebody literally in your life who can walk this with you and encourage you every step of the way, maybe Paul and I are going to be that person who can help you do that. We often, in the midst of life, lose track of the goal. The goal is not to dwell in what he's showing us this very second. The goal is the prize ahead of us, to fix our eyes on that prize. And the prize for us is to become whole in God, to become the person he created me to be.
For a lot of people, that sounds to them like sort of a dream or an esoteric idea of wholeness. And we talked about this in the first podcast, but I think it's important to reiterate it here. Is helping define wholeness. We're going on this journey together, 40 days of wholeness in Christ. What is wholeness? What does God want for us? What does that term mean?
Let's keep it biblical. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the word is rapha, which means healing, wholeness. In the New Testament, in Greek, the word is sozo. Means the same thing. It's one word with multiple facets of meaning, but you don't pick and choose what it means. It means all those things at one time. This is the beauty of the Hebrew language. You know, I always love to quote Martin Luther, who was a great theologian, but he was very anti-Semitic. He really didn't like the Jews. He called them Jesus killers at times. But he said this, and I love this quote. He was a real linguist, and he loved the Word of God. And he said he could understand why God chose the Hebrew language to reveal his Word to his people, because in a very short sentence, in the economy of words, he could get multiple facets of meaning. For instance, this word Rapha, we know like Yahweh, Rapha. It means the God who heals. Rapha also means the God who makes you whole, the God who brings you to maturity, who draws you into perfection, the God who saves you, the God who redeems you. It means all that, all at the same time, all at once. Luther understood that, and in spite of his opinion of the Jews at one time, which I think is horrific, he recognized the beauty of the language God chose to impart his character and his purposes to his people. So when God says, I want you to be whole, he means he wants us to be saved, to be made perfect, to be healed, to be brought into the culmination of everything God from the beginning ordained you to be. That's a lot.
It's a ton. And you bring up a point that I want to expound upon, and that is God wants us perfect. Now, when we hear that, we think God wants us flawless, right? We never make a mistake or we never—
And yet he says, well, we're going to sin.
Right. So how do you put that all in? Because he tells, what, the woman at the well, go and sin no more. So how do we gain perfection? Is that really something that we could attain?
It's becoming more and more in his likeness. We're becoming more and more the person he wants us to be. I'm going to divert where we're going for just a minute because I think this is relevant. We talk a lot about discipleship, about being a disciple of Christ, following him, learning who he is, and then walking in his ways. A lot of Hebrew scholars call it walking in the dust of Jesus. Don't you love that term, you know, where you're just so close to him, the dust from his feet gets on you. I love that. But to be a disciple in the time of Jesus and understand what that meant and how you can be transformed by the master is more complex than the credence we give it today. Today, we talk about discipleship as information, learning about him. In the time of Jesus, becoming a disciple was more transformation. A disciple was called a Talmud, and many disciples were plural, Talmudim. It was the person who left everything he knew and loved and chose to follow the master. That meant he lived with him, he ate with him, he traveled with him. He watched his daily habits. He listened to his words. He served him as best he could. And little by little, the character of the master rubbed off on the disciple, and he became like him. I read a story one time about a modern-day woman. She lived in Ohio, and she was a potter. And her goal in life was to learn to do this kind of pottery that was perfected in a remote village in Japan, where you gathered ash and you molded a piece of certain kind of clay and you threw it in the fire. And then these exquisite works of art would come out. And she had tried and tried and couldn't do it. She got permission to go and study for 6 months with this Japanese potter who was an expert in the field. And she was so excited because she was going to learn his techniques. He took her into his house and she lived there, but it was not at all what she expected. She was like a servant to him. She gathered ash in the woods. She gathered sticks. She sorted through clay. She cleaned up his mess. She assisted his wife in cooking the meals. She never once got to form anything artistically. And she was so disappointed. And she went home after 6 months and she thought, I learned nothing. It was a waste of time and money. She went out to her studio. She threw a lump of clay on the wheel and she fashioned the most exquisite piece of art she had ever made in her life. And she realized she had absorbed the character, the traits of the master by being in his presence. That's a disciple. That's what we learn to do with Jesus. We spend time with him. We just absorb who he is. We get to know him in ways beyond reading about him or even hearing testimonies. And I love testimonies. They're wonderful. But we absorb ourselves in the word he's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. and in his intimate presence in our lives.
And that's why one of the most important parts of the book, at least for me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to agree as they go on this journey with us, that just that quiet time that we are to have with him, and the book leads you into that. Just sit still and let God speak to you. That's that time, that's that presence that's oh so important that you just described.
It's vital. You know, some of us have to literally learn some techniques about how we can do it. Like you might have to set your stopwatch on your phone for 5 minutes and say, I'm just going to sit here until the alarm goes off. It might be the longest 5 minutes of your life when you first start, but you learn to do that little by little, whatever it takes. And for a lot of us, especially I know those of you who are busy at work, and you have children at home, and there are all kinds of distractions. It's hard to find that quiet time. Maybe put on some headphones where you noise cancelers and whatever it is you have to do. Our God's creative, and he can give you the most creative ideas about how to spend time. Because I guarantee you, he wants to spend time with you more than you want to spend time with him.
And we're going to learn how to do that, and we're going to learn how to receive from him and hear from our Creator. The number 40, I want to talk about that real quick, Signa, because it's a significant number. Anybody that's read the Bible knows this. 40 days in the desert, right? That the Hebrews wandered around before the promised land. It rained for 40 days and nights once the rain began to fall during Noah's time. And obviously, once the time that Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert and he was tempted there for 40 days as he fasted. Was that by coincidence that it turned out to be 40 days, or is that a number that you chose and then kind of follow along with it?
No, I chose 40 on purpose because I saw it so repetitively in the Bible, and I was so fascinated about why God chose that number. I know there's sort of a typical definition of a generation being 40 years, but it's even more than that. And if you look at every one of the examples you just gave about 40 days, 40 years, you realize that at the end of that specified period of time, a promise God had made was revealed in every situation. The other night, Conley and I were talking about this 40-day period and why God seemed to think it was so important. And we thought, well, what about in our lives? And we realized it was 40 years into our lives. God had revealed himself to us in an intimate way and called Conley into full-time ministry, to sell a business, to get up and leave. We were like Abraham and Sarah, you know, we just said goodbye and off we went onto this great new adventure. 40 years. He revealed the promise to us in an unusual way, but the fulfillment of the promise came at the end of 40 years. Or at that time, we thought 40 was old. Well, now we've come another 40 years since then. At the end of this 40 years, I didn't really mean to get into this. It's kind of personal, but I mean, Conley has had some serious health problems with his heart, and God kept promising healing. And God, at the end of the second 40 years of our life, God has given Conley like a new heart. He had heart, open heart surgery, had got a new heart valve, restored his stamina, his vitality. If that hadn't happened, I don't think he'd be with us to this day. At the end of our second 40-year period, he's given us this promise of what he's done in our lives all these years can be disseminated out into the hands of people, the listeners, people I will never meet in this lifetime, to hear the miracles of his love. That just blows me away that can happen. I don't think we're going to be here in another 40 years, but we'll be with God. That's going to be the next promise, I think. But isn't that interesting how when you look back on a long life, you can see how he promised and the promise was revealed. If he promises that in 40 days, he can bring wholeness to you, if you devote your time and your attention to this, I think that you're going to see that promise fulfilled.
Right, and it's the beginning of the year, And everybody, that's when I'm not a big New Year's resolution person, but I think we ought to set goals. And we do for weight loss. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to watch less television or not be on my phone as much. But how much more important to say, you know what? 40 days to wholeness in Christ. This is the year that I'm going to grow close to God. And we encourage you to do that through this podcast and to listen on. If you want to go ahead and order the book and get ahead of us, that's cool. That's fine. Signe and I will be here week by week, giving you those little nuggets from each section of the book as you will go on your journey. And I want to talk about these sections of the book. You call them regions, okay? You list six regions if we are to enter true wholeness. And these regions serve as a different section, as you'll see once you have the book in your hand. And I'm going to walk through them. I'm going to list them real quick here, but then I'm going to walk through each one briefly because I want people to get a hold of it and how important it is. Number one, purification. Two, finding freedoms from bondages of the past. Section three, finding God's promised land for each of us. Four, fulfilling the yearning to hear God's word. Five, acknowledging the need to repent and stand before God. And six, learning how to overcome temptation in life. Man, these are so important. So let's briefly walk through those, each one of those, Signe, in preparation for really diving into the book on our next episode or two. So number one, purification.
I call them going to regions because I want to use the theme of we're on a journey. We're going somewhere. We're traveling.
That's the point.
And we're traveling companions on this journey. And the first region I think is vital is the purification. And I use as the biblical traveling companion the life of Noah in this. And when I talk about purification, and it sounds painful at first because we've all heard the example of purifying gold in the fire, and it must be really painful to extract something pure from that. And I'm not sure I'm ready for that. When I think of purification, I love a good culinary analogy, so I'm going to give you one.
She's a cook, folks. Don't forget that.
I like my kitchen. All right, I think of purification as a rinsing, a deep rinsing of something to remove an impediment to the best usage of that item. I've thought about rice and potatoes. Rice is one of those covered in starch, and you rinse it repeatedly until the water becomes clear. And then you can cook a dish with that rinsed rice where every little rice kernel is separate and has its own intrinsic value. It's not all clumped together in a lump, sticky rice is good. You know, that has its place too. But it's the analogy here. It separates into becoming its own unique creature, that one kernel of rice. You do the same thing with potatoes. You soak and you rinse until the water's clear. And like, I've been on this venture for several years of trying to perfect the perfect French fry because I've eaten them before and I just couldn't do it at home. And I finally got it, but it includes rinsing and purifying. So when we look at it that way, it's a way God rinses us from the residue of the world, all this junk we've accumulated, so that we can be uniquely His and be the best we could possibly be. And our guide Noah can take us through that journey. And that's why I chose him. So that would be a whole week of studying that. Right. And not just studying about it, but literally doing it along with him.
And that's what I enjoy about it, because when you say Noah, you're going to be in these different sections. You're going to be hearing the story of Noah and how it applies to what you just mentioned, and it gives you insight. I enjoyed seeing that insight to a scripture that we've all read. We all know the story from, when we were a Sunday school on, but we dive so much deeper, which brings us to point number two, finding freedoms. And this, again, is regions, six regions, the region, finding freedoms from bondages of the past. This is huge.
Well, our guide for this region is Moses. And you remember, he's 40 years old when he leaves Egypt. And what's he done? He's just killed a man. He's committed a sin. He deserves death himself for what he did. There's bondage to a past for sure. We're following him and how God doesn't beat him over the head with the sin he committed, But he shows him the better way. He is calling him out of the identity of the past into something he's never dreamed about. He tried to pawn it off so many times. Let my brother talk. I mean, he can do it better than I can. That's not my gift. Use somebody else. God will take us where he wants us to go. We're going to go there with Moses. It's fun. He's a great character. Moses lived about five lifetimes, really. I mean, he did a lot. So there's a place along the way where any of us can identify at some point or another with Moses.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He did try to pawn it off to Aaron. He didn't want to deal with it. And then he to the mountain and back, and he saw this craziness going on when he returned. I mean, his story alone. But I love how we take it, again, deeper to really learn how that applies to our lives to get us free. Because the bondage, the enemy wants to keep us right there in those bondages as long as we can. As long as we're acceptable of that, we can't really move far beyond that.
Well, you think of how many of us have labored under words, maybe somebody real close to us, a parent, a relative, somebody said over us when we were young,
"You'll never amount to nothing, Junior.
You idiot. You know, you're as dumb as a rock." And that's mild. The things adults have said over children that have stuck with them all their lives are just atrocious. That's a bondage to your past that maybe even has no foundation other than you accepted it. You took it in and believed the lie. And that's one of those, goes back to purification. These all meld together in a way. It's hard to separate everything. But when God rinses those words off of us and we're delivered from the effects of that bondage, I mean, it sets us free to do things we never dreamed of.
And those are just words. A lot of people, and that's why this book really is for anybody. We're talking abusive relationships with parents, going into the ugliest, darkest areas of their lives that they carry with them. The statistics are astounding on how many people, particularly women, are victims of sexual abuse at a young age by a family member. Mm-hmm. And it impacts their relationships and everything else. And the design here is to rid of that. And you're saying it's possible.
It is so possible. And we're so afraid that we're going to have to go back and relive that pain when we worked so hard to put it behind us. Often, I would say most often, the way the Lord brings healing into those bondages of the past is he allows us to see him in that situation, to see his presence, his holiness, overshadowing the ugliness, the evil that may have happened to us. Now, that sounds impossible, but when he does that, it transforms everything. And I cannot tell you how many people have had that happen. When the worst possible scenario you've ever heard of has happened to them, and they see Jesus. Now, a lot of people, before this happens to them, they will say, "Well, if Jesus was there, why didn't he stop it?" And that's a universal whiny excuse. Give him a chance. If he you seem and he was there, let him stop it. From this moment on, that traumatic event does not have to shape who you are.
And that's all part of this journey, folks. We encourage you to go online, order the book, 40 Days to Wholeness in Christ. If this is what you want, and I'm sure if you're listening, that's exactly what you want, follow along with us on this journey. Now, number three of the regions, finding God's promised land for each of us. This is big.
Well, I think about Joshua and Caleb, the explorers. They call them the spies, but they went on a little mission and they were trying to get some information. And they looked at the promise through eyes that reflected God's reality for them instead of eyes that reflected the fear of someone's past or someone's doubts. There were 12 of these men who went, and two came back seeing the hope for the future and reported on that. We can walk in either camp at any time. We can choose to see the worst possible outcome and be terrified to move on with what God wants us to do. Or we can choose to see it through God's eyes. Nobody was more terrified than Conley and I were after our first 40 years of life, and God says, "I want you to go to seminary. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to change your whole life." We could have looked at what the world was telling us. We even had some family members who said this to us. Well, you're giving up all the security you've worked so hard to have. You're going into an unknown, and you know how they treat pastors. They just don't treat them very nice. And it's going to be hard on your children. And I mean, we heard every excuse in the book. But God had shown us the possibility that life without doing what he wanted us to do and going where he was leading us to go would never be fulfilling. I mean, it might be good, it might be rewarding, we might have been more financially secure, but it would not have been rewarding. These explorers in a foreign land were walking toward a promise they could not yet see, and there were all kinds of obstacles, terrifying obstacles. And some of us face that as well. But they listened to what God was saying, and at the end of their 40 days, that interesting number again, they saw the revelation of the promise and they brought it back. For those who had ears to hear, they heard it and they followed. Some didn't.
That's right. And whose report do you believe, right?
Amen.
We believe the report of the Lord. And that's what I enjoyed about the book. And that is we take these Bible stories that many of us are familiar with from Sunday school, and they're applied in such a deep way that really divides from bone and marrow to really get to what we want to get to, that wholeness in Christ that each and every one of us want to attain. So join us on this journey. Number four of the region of fulfilling the yearning to hear God's word.
Our guide on this one is Elijah, and I love Elijah. I just feel my heart connecting with him in so many ways because he yearned to hear God speak. He yearned to hear his voice. And he was such a man of fire and brimstone, and he wanted to see the spectacular and all the fireworks of the presence of God. And I mean, don't we all love that? We're all attracted to it at times. And I'm that way as much as anybody. I love it when God's people are shouting and jumping up and down and just enjoying the holy presence with abandonment. You know, I love that. And Elijah tried, and he was frustrated. He couldn't hear. And it took him so many trials to get to the point where he'd come away by himself in the least likely place where he could hear the powerful word of God. And it was quiet. It was a whisper. It came to him in the most unexpected way. And I so identify with that. I think a lot of us do. We think if someone is shouting in our ear, and it's not going to have that depth of meaning. And yet God's tiny, small, whispered voice to us can pack a punch like nothing else.
And that's part of this journey of 40 Days to Wholeness in Christ is journaling, which means, and you'll find it throughout the book, section by section, and that is just being still and waiting on God to speak. And again, he could speak in so many different ways, but listening for that still small voice. And of course, his word is a lamp unto our feet. We know that as well, but it basically stops time for us to just sit and listen and wait. And we're directed to do that in the book, and we'll be directing you to do that as well on this podcast, to take those few minutes. Now, we're not going to sit here silently for 10 minutes on a podcast, but we encourage you when you're after the end of a section that we'll talk about to go and then listen and wait and let God speak to you and then write it down as Signa talks about, write it down. And I learned to do that. It's amazing what he's brought out from my past, what's going on now, where he's going to direct. And because the bottom line is, Signa, God wants to speak to us.
He always wants to speak to us. His word is life.
His word is life. Now, okay, section 5, acknowledging the need to repent and stand before God. And repentance is the key, you know, to our salvation. This
right.
is big here.
Our traveling companion in this region will be Jonah.
Jonah, boy, he had a time, huh?
Well, he had so many ups and downs, you can kind of get dizzy following his life. I mean, it was going great, then it wasn't, then he's dying, then he's, you know, the most unlikely kind of rescue, and then being taken to encourage the people he detested most on the earth to repent and watching them do it and then hating. I mean, you're up and down. But our lives are often like that. We can be excited one day and the next day be in the basement. You know, it's just hard with all the ups and downs of life. There's no real resolution at the end of this story of Jonah. What is so important about it is we see ourselves in every aspect of his life. We can identify along the way. And there are lessons to be learned just by observation. Hopefully, we don't have to go through a lot of the stuff like he did. But it shows that any of us at any time can have the most incredible experience with God, where he literally saves our lives in a miraculous way, and then we'll be at the pit blaming him for everything around us. And that's eye-opening to see that. And we can learn a lot from this man.
Many of us, most of us, at some time in our life, whether it was literal or figuratively, sort of shook that fist at God, saying, why? Why me? Why now? People have to dig through that, and Jonah did himself. That's where he was through this. And we're going to learn from that.
We'll learn a lot from him.
And region six, learning how to overcome temptation in life. And we're all tempted. That never seems to stop.
And the temptations get more and more sophisticated and multifaceted the older we get. You know, you think when you outgrow the teenage years, well, I'm not going to have the same temptations. No, they just get more expensive and more complex. But our ultimate guide for this region is Jesus himself. And to know that he was tempted in every way, even as we are. And after his 40 days of battling the personification of evil, battling Satan himself, he comes to the end of that period with the promise of absolute victory over temptation. We're going to explore the ways he does it, which are examples for us of how we go through those difficult times when temptation just seems overpowering.
And I love those biblical characters. It's part of the toolkit that Signe talked about that we're offering you through the book and through following the podcast to sort of unpack these biblical characters, what they went through, how it applies to our life. And another thing that you do, Signe, that I enjoy, you give real life accounts. These are real people. Sometimes you change the names for obvious reasons, but throughout the book, you talk about real situations in people's lives, and you're going to hear it in this podcast. And these are real life stories. Why is sharing those stories? And there's a lot of them in there. I think it helps me get a word picture because I identify with some of these people. Why is that important for you to add these to your book and have those in the book as well as to the podcast?
Because this is not pie in the sky stuff. This is real life. This is nitty gritty. These are other people who've been through the same struggles you have. I think the more we've been in ministry, the more we realize there are not a lot of just unique, one-of-a-kind situations people deal with. We're all afflicted in the same way. Sometimes the circumstances are different, but God knows that there's one way we're all healed, no matter what it is you're struggling with. You might think it's unique to you, your family, your situation. No one else has been through this like I have. It doesn't matter. God heals us all the same way. And that way is through becoming intimately connected to him in such a way that we become one with him. And out of that oneness, new life is conceived. And in that new life, we bear fruit. There's a Hebrew word. Again, you know, I love these Hebrew words that are all inclusive. It's yada, Y-A-D-A, yada. And it means to know him. The first time it's used in Genesis is when Adam yada his wife, Eve, and they conceived a child. That word is used to symbolize God's love for us so many times throughout the Hebrew scriptures, that he loved us so much that he became one with us. We joined together, and out of that deep love, new life is conceived and we bear fruit. That's how we're all healed. We're healed through joining with him, listening to his voice, letting him transform us into his image. He wants you to be whole.
So now the question's for you. Do you want to join us on this journey? We want you to. Thanks for joining us for 40 Days to Wholeness in Christ and for embarking on this devotional journey. Now, remember, you can order a copy of Cigna's book and the journal that goes along with it, because we're going to be doing lots of journaling throughout this process. Go to CignaBadishpa.com. There you can also message us. You can find her on Facebook as well, just by looking up Cigna Badishpa. If you have trouble spelling the name, just go to the cover of the podcast. It's spelled out for you there. Now, if you find this podcast benefits you, here's what we want you to do. Share it with your friends and family through email, send them a link, let them know about it any way possible. And if you could go on this journey with someone you love, someone close to you, whether it be a spouse, a friend, a sibling, join on this journey. It'll change your life. Now, in our next podcast, we have some pre-journey instructions for you. We're really going to dive into it. Now, you don't go on a trip without packing and bringing the right clothes. You don't go on a hike without the right tools. We're going to give you a toolkit. So Cigna is going to help you for that 40-day journey by giving you the toolkit and walking you through this process episode by episode. Also, for those of you who have never journaled like me, we're to talk about that in a deeper way as well. So let's go deeper with God. That's the point here. Let's become the person that He designed us to be. The 40-day journey is a game changer and it's a life changer. For Cigna Badishpa, I'm Paul Petit on the journey to wholeness together. Have a great day.